5 reasons you need somebody to walk with you through life, work with you through life, watch out for you, to wait and weep with you, to witness with you. If you've missed any of those, I'm going to tell you, it's a life-changing thought to realize that you are not made to do this alone. It's a great thought to know that you have a family, that you have a surrounding group around you of believers that love you and care for you. And you need to tap that resource and use it. You don't need to be trying to fight life's battles alone. I have 2 sermons today that are tearing me apart. And we're continuing on, and it's not an accident that today in our sermons, in our series, we're getting to the point where we need each other to reach out. And there's 7 reasons why we need each other to reach out. This week in our country, there was a decision made. How many of you have been following the news? And church, as much as I want to say something to you, and I want you to listen to me. Open your minds and your hearts right now and listen to what I got to say. Do not leave until I am finished. Do not move until what the Spirit is trying to say has been said. Do not form an opinion. Do not close your mind. Do not sit there today and think that what you believe and what you know is the answer. And I want you to listen to God's Word. Can I tell you this? And I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. And I want you to understand this today. That God did not create any person, not one person, that He does not want to save today. And God did not create any person, not one person, that He doesn't madly love today. And God has not created one person that He will not forgive today. God did not create any hopeless cause. As a matter of fact, every person that's created was created with a purpose. Whether they know God or not, they were created with a purpose. It is God's will, the Bible says in Peter, that none should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. I'm so tired of being known as a Christian today in America. I'm so tired of my reputation being marred by the words of others that try to represent the God that I love and serve. My God does not hate anyone today. My God loves everyone today. And there is a hashtag that has been coined for this time in our lives. Matter of fact, the movement that found victory this week has hashtagged this. Maybe you've seen it. Let's flash that on the screen real quick. They're using 2 words. Love wins. And I'm going to tell you something. Love didn't win when the Supreme Court made their decision. Love did not win with a 5-4 vote. Love won when Jesus Christ walked out of a tomb after He died for the sins of the entire world. Love won when the Bible says the grave and hell had been defeated. Love won a long time ago. A long time ago. And I have been watching as social media has been blowing up with Christians attacking. With people saying that now the wrath of God is coming to America. Can I tell you something? Can I blow your mind? It is not homosexuality that's bringing the wrath of God to the world today. It is sin. Sin is bringing that. And for years there's been sin. And for years there's been adultery and lying and cheating and backstabbing and gossip. And for years there's been greed. And for years there's been these acts that are not normal. You say, well, does the church agree? I believe in the institution of marriage that God created. I do. Can we believe that? But because our belief is different, I don't see those 2 words as a loss at all. I see them as an opportunity. Because they're feeling right now that this is what it means to have love win. And what they need to feel right now is it means everything when Jesus Christ walks into your heart and love truly wins. Can I tell you, we're supposed to reach out, but we're not supposed to be discriminatory in who we reach out to. We should not be against reaching out to those that have a sin that's different than yours. Matter of fact, can I tell you this? And this is the perfect opportunity for you to leave if you'd like to. But we do not allow perfect people in our church. We don't. Matter of fact, we allow brokenness. We allow hurt. We allow heartache. We allow people that carry heavy loads. Matter of fact, can I go to some verses real quick? Start with that 1 Peter. Steve has like 1,000 verses. 1 Peter, it's at the list of list one, all right, Steve? 1 Peter, it says this in chapter number 4. It says, the end of the world is coming. How many of you have seen that on Facebook lately? The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. But keep reading the next verse. Verse number 8 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins today. I've seen so many misusing the Word of God. And so many trying to stand out and say, God is against us. Now my Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I've seen Romans 1 used as a manipulation. Where there is a list, and matter of fact, there is a list where God says, and I'll read it to you real quick so that I can give it to you in context of what He's saying. Romans 1, and I want you to follow through with a few verses. He's going to try to keep up with me on the screen as much as possible. Steve, I'm going to start with verse number 18. And the Bible says, but God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. What is the truth today? Huh? Say it loud. What is the truth today? Love. What is the good news today? That Jesus died for sinners. And it goes on and it says in the very next verse, read with me. They know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, verse 21, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as a God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, instead they became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, everlasting, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Verse 24 says, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. They worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to the shameful desires. Even women turned against the natural way of having sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned for lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of the sin, they suffered within themselves the penalties they deserved. Can I just say this today? This agenda has not been created recently. This has been going since the beginning. This has been going since Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. And everybody keeps saying, now that we're at this phase has been attacking. The Roman Empire was plagued with it. Read verse 28. It says, since they thought it was foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Verse 29 gives us a list. Everybody stopped before verse 29. Every article, and I counted over 100 and stopped counting, stopped before verse 29. Because everybody wants to point out everybody else's sin. But they don't want to deal with the things that's creeping into their own lives. And the Bible says that their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. Sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Keeps going in verse number 31. They refuse to understand. They break their promises. They're heartless. They have no mercy. Underline that. They have no mercy. Mercy means that God is withholding from you the things you deserve today. And yet many do not want God to withhold His judgment from others that have sins that are different than us. Well, they deserve it. They need this. God's going to do this. God will take them down. Stop, church. Stop thinking you were put on this earth to judge the sin of mankind. And start realizing that you were put on this earth to give hope, to spread a truth, to spread love, that you are not in bondage today that cannot be broken. You are not in chains today that cannot be freed. Today, no matter what your sin, no matter what your weakness, no matter what wickedness lives within you, and some lives within all of us, through Jesus, you can be made right. It is not our job to change the world. It is our job to introduce them to Christ, who radically changes the world. Every time Christ has shown up, something's happening. And can I tell you, there's going to come a day He's going to show back up. The Bible said there's going to be a trumpet and the dead in Christ will rise, and then we which are called and alive and remain will be called up together to meet Him in the air, and there we will forever be with the Lord. Jesus is coming back. Is the anger and wrath of God coming? Yes. Yes, it is. But it's not coming just because of one decision. It's coming when the world has made many decisions that have led to destruction. He keeps going, verse 32. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Can I tell you this? God looked at Adam and Eve and He said, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And they took a bite of that and God showed up and they hid because they were naked. They hid because they were scared. Their wickedness had been revealed and they knew that the punishment they deserved was death. But when God found Adam and Eve, He asked them, who told you you're naked? And they said, oh, we knew. How did you know the woman you gave me? She ate a fruit that you forbid. And God, when the punishment said death, God gave grace. And the Bible says that He killed an animal and He clothed them. And when you and I became wicked and evil, on the day that we were born into a wicked and evil world, when we inherited a sinful nature, when all through our lives we have lied, cheated, and stole, when we have done things we shouldn't do, when we've talked bad about others or allowed people to talk bad about others to us, when we have looked at people and ridiculed them, the Bible says that the wages of sin, the payment for sin, what you and I deserve is death. But guess what? Love wins every time. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, it said that God demonstrated His love, and that while you and I were sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we got it all together, but while we were sinners, Christ died. You can go on and on in Scripture. And we want to preach that America is over. Well, I will not preach that. And I will not say doomsday. I will say this is grace day. This is the moment that God can change it. And you don't need me to change you, but you need God to change you. And you don't need me to turn my back on you. You need God to come into your heart and save you. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. God saves. Let me blow your mind and read the verses nobody wants to hear. Chapter 2, verse 1. You may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad, and you have no excuse. Now, how many of you, that's kind of like a ouch moment? We don't like to be compared to things that we have distanced ourselves from, do we? The Bible says you know the truth, and I know the truth. We know that Jesus is the way. They do not. We know He's the truth and the life. They do not. So what was your excuse today? What was your excuse this week when you bit somebody's head off? What was your excuse this week when you cut somebody off in traffic or yelled because they cut you off? What was your excuse this week when bad language spilled out of your mouth and bad thoughts flooded into your desires? What was your excuse when lust captivated your desire? What was your excuse when people were hurting and you decided to hurt back? What was your excuse? There is no excuse today. Because I have been given much grace, and how many of you can say, Brother Josh, so have I. I've been given much mercy. How many of you join me and say amen? So have I. I don't deserve to be married to the woman I'm married to have the child I have. I don't deserve to be a preacher, an ambassador, a minister of God's Word. My life, hell man, the things I did, the decisions I made, I deserve to be alone. I deserve to be locked up. I deserve to be in place that I am not today. You know why? Because God didn't step out in judgment when I made a mistake. God stepped out in love. And you can live for a day of wrath. But I want you to skip down with me, and if you would, in verse number 5, read these verses with me. It says, "But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up a terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will judge," circle this word, "everyone according to what they have done." Goes on and says, "He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But He will pour out His anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, for the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good, for the Jew first and also the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism." God does not show favoritism. So stop. Stop bashing everybody with your logic. It will not change them. And stop browbeating the world because of your ideas and your beliefs. It will not do anything for them. And start loving people today. You know why the church needs to reach out? People need Jesus. Romans 1, verse 16 says it this way. It says, "I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." Verse 17 and 18 go on to read, this good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from the start to the finish by faith. For the Scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life today. But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Can I tell you today? It's time that love wins in the church. And we stop trying to think that anybody that disagrees with the way we believe deserves to be condemned. Because the Bible says the condemnation you use to judge others is the same judgment you will be judged by. Now, how many of you today understand this? And I hope you're okay with this. You go to a church that allows anybody to walk through the door. Anyone. Regardless of the past. Regardless of their present. Regardless of what they're currently doing. And I know right now some of us that are super religious will start thinking, well, I can't believe that God's going to let someone who's lived a life terrible and then given them heart to Him at the end in heaven when I've lived my life for Him and they get to go to the same heaven I get to go. Can I bust your bubble? On the cross, Jesus looked at somebody dying because of sin and said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So can I tell you our stand as a church? We believe sin is wrong. Regardless of what sin it is. And we believe that sin is equal regardless of what sin it is. Whether you told a little white lie or you shot somebody yesterday, sin is sin. Stop trying to measure who you are based on the weaknesses of others and start measuring yourself by the Word of God. Stop trying to measure where we are as a church by other churches and other Christians and start measuring us as a church by what God's Word says a church should be. We need to be a church that at times like these are praying together. Yes. At times like these are reaching out. And we are not scared. And we are not ashamed. And we do not bow on our convictions. But we invite you to find the love that we have found. And we invite you to share in the glory of God that we get to share in. We invite you to experience the power that Jesus Christ can bring into your life. We invite you to be a part of it. But just like God, we cannot make you. And we will not make you. And you have a right to disagree. But can I tell you this? If you're a liar today, laying down your lies is not going to change your life. If you're a homosexual today, laying down that's not going to change your life. Finding Jesus will change everything. And I'm going to tell you this right now. There's a hashtag that we need to understand. I typed it out on the screen this morning and I said, we need to pick this one up. Hate destroys. Bitterness destroys. It destroys our families. It destroys our homes. It destroys our churches. It destroys our nation. It destroys our world. Hate never accomplishes anything. But Paul said this. I challenge you in your most holy faith to love one another. So can I tell you today, we love you, but you don't know me. I don't, and I don't need to know you to love you. I know God, and God is love. And when they hashtag love wins, you know what they say? Without even realizing it, God wins. God wins. God wins. Because God is love. And if love wins, that means God wins. And if you want to know how it all works out in the end, you want to flip to the very last page in your Bible. The Bible says, all praise to Him who reigns forever and ever. Amen. Why? Because God wins every time. God wins. So church, stop. Stop trying to change them with what you believe. And start changing them with the love of God. And that's all I have today. So I want you to bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. Can I just say something? For those of you that are homosexuals that are with us today, and I know we have some in our church, today you were not singled out. Understand that. This message was not about you. This was in response to things that are going on in the nation, to the hate that I'm seeing. This message wasn't against an agenda or a movement. This message was to wake up the church to stop destroying what God built through Jesus Christ on Calvary. And we love you. And just like there's things in my life that you don't agree with, there's things in yours that I don't agree with. And we are praying for you. And I ask that you pray for me. Because there are weaknesses in my life. How many of you say amen, Brother Josh? There's weaknesses in mine too. Say it. Amen. Just say it. You hear that? There are failures in my life too. Pray for me. And I'll be praying for you. And let's choose Christ. Let's choose Jesus. Let's choose the one who chose us long before we ever even gave thought to choosing Him. Because there is not a sin His blood cannot cover. There is not a weakness that He can't strengthen. And there is not a hurt that He cannot heal. And there is not a power. There is not a king. There is not a demon. Nor Satan himself that can stand against Him. Let's choose Christ. Church, I pray and I ask that you will not be stubborn and say, well, this is just what I believe. I've given you the Bible and what it has to say. And it says, do not think you can condemn them. You are just like them. I wonder if there's anybody here today that says, you know what, Brother Josh? I need God to change my heart. To remove some bitterness and some anger. Would you slip your hand up? Change my heart. Amen. I wonder how many of you are sitting here today and you think to yourself, you know what, Brother Josh, I need God to change my ways. There's things I need to stop doing. Would you slip your hand up? Change my ways. Can I tell you what happens when your heart changes and your ways change? Your worship changes. There's a quote I want you to remember. Prayer makes me aware. When I am praying for someone instead of against them, it makes me aware of their needs. And when I'm praying for my country instead of against it, it makes me aware of our country's needs. And when I'm praying for my church instead of against it, when I'm praying for God to bless you, when I'm praying for God to pour out His power, it makes me aware of what you need and it gives me an opportunity. And today, my prayer as a church is, God, let us have an opportunity to show your love in a time where many are screaming hate. To show your love in a time when many are standing on their own abilities. No, it will not be popular. But neither is Jesus. I want to build my life on Jesus Christ and nothing else. And I will accept any sinner. I do not have to accept their sin. Do you understand? I want you to look up and we're going to stand. We're going to give an invitation. We're going to pray. But how many of you that said you have weaknesses, you openly practice those weaknesses when you're at church? Raise your hand. How many of you say, you know what, when I'm at church, it's easier not to give in to my weaknesses? Raise your hand. All right? The truth is this. I'm not going to openly practice my weaknesses in front of you. You don't need to openly practice your weaknesses in front of me. But we need to take those weaknesses right to the throne of God and we need to say, God, this is where I struggle. Will you be my strength? Because the Bible says, and Paul preached it, that in my weakness, He is made strong. And so today, we're not closing in prayer for America. We're closing in prayer of if my people will humble themselves and pray. I'll get you in just a second, Dad. And they'll seek my face. If my people, we're closing in prayer that God radically changes the hearts of the church today. If you do not mind joining us in that prayer, I ask that you just, right there where you stand, grab somebody's hand and say, I'm with you. I'm with you. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Give me 1 second.